This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cheryl Gasser, and today for Kathleen Dunn, so glad to be with you. This hour, we'll be going to the movies, taking a look at what Hollywood has to offer this holiday season. Is there a film that you would like to recommend or tell us to avoid at all costs? Let us know what you think by joining in the conversation. We're broadcasting today out of Madison, so the number 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. You can also send us an email at talk@wpr.org. I'm glad to be joined this hour by movie reviewer Mike Mayo. He is the author and editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series and the author of the forthcoming book, American Murder. He reviews films for The Washington Post. Mike Mayo, welcome back to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you very much.
So how is the Hollywood writers' strike going to affect what we see at the theater? I believe the talks are going to resume on Monday, but some films have already been affected.
Yeah, I think I don't think that moviegoers will necessarily notice anything. You know, there won't be a week or a month where we suddenly see fewer movies out there, because it simply takes so much longer to create a film that Hollywood has, you know, hundreds of, not thousands of movies in the pipeline at any given moment, and they can adjust their flow to suit, you know, what we have. I don't really think that we'll see anything on the movie front. I think it's much more important to television. They just work so much more quickly than they do in movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at what's in the theaters now. What's your top pick for a show playing currently?
I would have to say the new Disney movie, Enchanted, that just opened yesterday, I believe. That is as much fun, just about, as I've had in a long time. It's a musical, and it's based on kind of the quintessential Disney fairy tale movie from back in the 1950s. It begins as an animated film, where an old-fashioned, hand-drawn animated film, where we meet our princess and the prince who wants to marry her and the wicked stepmother, and then through a quick series of events, the princess and the prince are thrown into the real world of contemporary New York. Mm-hmm. They pop up out of a manhole in Times Square. And then it's about kind of the clash between fairy tales mindset and reality. Very nicely done. The young woman who's the star of it, Amy Adams, I think is just this is really going to make her career. It's just a superb role. And I wish that the Academy Awards people would treat comedy better, and particularly when women do it, because this is a very kind of light romantic comedy role. She does it perfectly, and it's much more difficult to do that, I think, than people give it credit for. We tend to think of the big heavy dramatic things. This is as good an acting job as I've seen from a woman all year, I think. So mm-hmm. I recommend it highly. It's rated PG, whole family. It's really just the best thing I've seen in a few days.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I'll put that on my to-do list. What else is on your must-see list?
Oh, let's see. The other one that's really very similar, and it just came out on DVD on Tuesday, is Hairspray. Now, this is the adaptation of the Broadway musical that came from the old John Waters film. And so this got all singing and dancing. John Travolta is in it as Edna Turnblad, a role that is usually, you know, a woman's role that's usually played by a man. He is very funny in it. So is Christopher Walken as his husband. It is just a delight for many of the same reasons that I was saying about Enchanted. It's just really nice music in it. Good song and dance numbers. I was thoroughly enchanted by it.
Now, are more people going to the movies nowadays, or are more of us waiting for films to come out on DVD and rent them from Netflix?
I think as within the industry, they say that the DVD business is now a mature industry, and that it really kind of peaked a couple of years ago, and now it's kind of settled in. I think the last number I saw that it was $24 billion spent on DVDs last year. So with some this year, we have had what will probably turn out to be the biggest year ever, with all of the big summer blockbusters doing fairly well. There were only a couple of disappointments in there. They made an awful lot of money. So I think people are still going to the movies, but I think we're seeing a lot more, at least this is what I see when I go to the movies, is I can tell when the previews are playing. People around me will be saying to each other, nah, I'm going to wait to DVD mm-hmm. for that.
mm-hmm. Or that's a must-see. I can't wait for that
exactly,
one to come out.
Yes.
So, and when you review a film, what is it that you're looking for? What makes a movie a hit in your mind?
The kind of the cliche that we always use is, you know, how well does a movie do what it sets out to do? If it's a thriller, you know, you compare it to the other great thrillers, and does it measure up or not? And I think the more and more American movies tend to fit into fairly easy categories. The independent, even the independent movies too, you tend to see the same kinds of stories being told. So it makes it a little bit easier as a reviewer to make those kind of comparisons. And I really think that that's what it's really more important for a reviewer to do, rather than express my own opinion, is to try to give my reader or listener some idea of how I think this movie compares to other things that they will have seen, and let them use that as the basis of their decision whether or not to buy a ticket or rent the DVD.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you hear from people who read your reviews and disagree or agree with you?
Oh, yes. and I often hear what the thing you get so much as a reviewer, it's when you are not sufficiently praiseful of something that people love. Even if you like it, if you didn't like it enough, that can be just as bad as disliking it.
So, do any movies in recent memory stand out where you gave it a review and then you just heard from a glut of people who or is that not really?
I heard from some people who were, I think, like me, kind of happily surprised at the movie that came out this summer, Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, and I say that as someone who really is not at all familiar with the whole Transformers toys and everything. So I really brought nothing into that movie with me and just enjoyed it as, a very silly special effects story. And I liked the performances by Shia LaBeouf, the young guy who's the lead in it. I thought he was very good. And so to me, it was just fun. And a lot of people that talked to me about it and wrote into the website seemed to think that, they were surprised that I would like it at all. And I was too.
Well, another movie that you like that is out in theaters now is American Gangster. I've heard mixed reviews on that one. Some people love it. Some people hate it. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. It's a fact-based movie about a guy named Frank Lucas, who was a real New York gangster and was involved in the heroin trade at the end of the Vietnam War, the middle and end of it. And he's played by Denzel Washington, who's quite good. And Russell Crowe is a drug cop who is kind of on his trail. What I really like most about the film is the way it shows New York and New Jersey in that time period. It really gets the clothes right, the look right, the attitudes. Some people have complained that it is really too nice to that character, that this guy was really a much nastier human being than he's made out to be. Well, when Denzel Washington plays him, there's a certain glamorization that's going to happen there. We see that in almost all movies that are about real killers of any sort. So that didn't bother me too much. I kind of expected it. And the other thing about the film that really got to me was the way it showed the real horrors of drug use. I cannot believe that anyone who saw this movie would ever think of having anything to do with heroin. It just mm-hmm. really just shows you how terrible it is, and the scenes of people actually injecting themselves with it are just really scary, almost horror film scary.
We are talking this hour about the latest offerings from the box office, from Hollywood films to independent movies. What have you seen recently that you'd like to recommend or tell us to avoid? And what movies are you looking forward to coming out this holiday season? 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 in Madison. Email your comments and questions as well to talk@wpr.org. Well, Mike Mayo, I think that many of us remember reading Beowulf in high school or college, and now the epic poem has been made into a major motion picture with Angelina Jolie, among many others. Viewers seem interested. It was the number one box office seller last weekend. What do you think? Is that a movie you've seen?
I have not seen it. I have seen an awful lot of clips from it, and it is done with what they call this motion capture thing, where they film real actors and use their voices, but then create almost photorealistic animated figures out of them, so that Angelina Jolie, who's playing Grendel's mother, her face looks like her, but then they kind of change her body around, and she's all covered in this gold stuff, and she has a tail, which I've always kind of suspected about Angelina Jolie, anyway. But it's neither here nor there. So it's very similar in style to the movie that really surprised everybody at the first part of the year by being such a huge hit, 300, about the Spartans at the Battle of Thermopylae. And that movie used that same kind of stylized thing, though it wasn't as heavily animated as this is. I think that may be the wave of the future that we're going to be seeing, particularly in fantasy films. The trailers for The Golden Compass have very much that same kind of look to them, though it uses real actors, not the motion capture thing. The motion capture was also last used in The Polar Express, which is also directed by Robert Zemeckis, the guy who did Beowulf.
And I was going to actually see Beowulf before talking to you, but my husband beat me to it and thought it was so horrible that I decided not to go. Now, maybe both love the poem so much that, you know, the movie just couldn't live up. And, of course, they changed the story. And but I'm curious to hear from any listeners out there who have gone out to see Beowulf, if you enjoyed the film or not. And Mike Mayo, a lot of these movies are now playing in these digital theaters. Is this something that, have you seen many movies in HD? Is this the wave of the future for film?
It really is. They've just got to do that because it's the expense of switching over to digital projection is pretty large. But after that, it's a so much superior system. As opposed to, you know, carrying these huge, heavy cans of film from city to city, and they get chewed up by projectors. This is what we're going to be seeing more and more of, and it's a development that I think is long overdue, and I'm glad to see it. We're also going to be seeing more of this new, using the digital stuff to give us three-dimensional movies. Beowulf is showing in 3D in some theaters, and it's doing box office, just great box office business wherever it's playing in 3D.
Mm-hmm. And how does, now there's 3D in the digital theaters, there's also 3D in IMAX theaters.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How does digital compare to IMAX in your mind?
I am still not real crazy about either one. You have to wear the glasses, and those have always bothered me. And I don't know, I guess I'm just too old-fashioned about this. I've been hearing about the wonders of 3D since the 1950s, and, you know, that it's going to be the next big thing. And they use it to tell stories where people throw spears out at the audience and things like that. And it's kind of an interesting effect, but I've yet to see anything that I thought was really a great story that used the 3D technology in a way that moved me emotionally, as opposed to just giving me a little scare. Now, James Cameron, the guy that did Titanic, his next big movie called Avatar, which I think is going to be out in 2009, is supposed to be the great 3D movie that's just going to knock us all off our feet. Well, I'm sorry. I remain to be convinced on this.
Okay. We are talking this hour about current box office offerings. What movies have you heading to the theater? We're talking with movie reviewer Mike Mayo. If you have a question about a film you're thinking of seeing, or if you have a movie to recommend, we would like to hear from you this hour. Your chance to play the movie critic, 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 in the Madison area. I'm Cheryl Gasser, in today for Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up this afternoon at 1 here on the Ideas Network, join Ira Flatow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday for a conversation about what the world might look like if humans suddenly disappeared. I'm Cheryl Gasser, in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are talking about movies this hour with Mike Mayo, movie critic and author and editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series. Which movies now showing or from the recent past make your must-see list? And what does it take to get you into the theater? You can join in the discussion at 1-800-642-1234. And Mike Mayo, let's go ahead and go to the phones and take our first call from Mary in Racine, who has wanted to talk about a movie that I am very much looking forward to seeing. Mary, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling. I'd like to make a comment about Beowulf too, but I'm going to ask my question about The Golden Compass. I really am a huge fan of Philip Pullman's series, and I thought that the books were very challenging and very controversial. And I'm just terrified that they're going to dumb them down, you know, in the movie. And so I'm wondering what buzz you have heard about the film, and you know, am I going to be just sick with disappointment, you know, if I go to see it, or is it going to be okay?
I hope it's going to be okay. Mary, I share your love of those books. I think that the trilogy of novels referred to as Historic Materials is just one of the finest works for children, adults, anybody that I've read in the past 10 years. I'm just a great fan of them. They take a kind of blatantly and unapologetically atheist point of view, and I think that has been toned down a bit in the film, though I don't think it's going to be so bad that it's going to be unrecognizable. I've seen some fairly long trailers for it, and they look to me like they got everything right, and they just in the look of the film, and they seem to have stuck pretty close to the plot also. That said, I really felt with those novels, more than anything else that I've read recently, that when I read the novels, I saw the movies. I saw the movies in my head, and I don't know if they're going to be able to recreate that. I like the casting of it, though.
I like that, too. I think, you know, from what I've seen so far, that they really have cast the right actors, you know, in the parts.
Yeah, especially, you know, Nicole Kidman is just perfect as Mrs. Coulter.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'd like to make a comment about Beowulf, too, because I had the experience of going to see it with a friend of mine who teaches Anglo-Saxon literature. And she had her class, you know, some of her students from her class, we all went to go see it together, and the students just were hissing and booing, you know, after the movie was over. They just hated it. They were like, that's not the poem that we read. Why did they do this? You know, why didn't they do that? You know, I mean, from my point of view, I'm not as familiar with the poem, obviously, so I didn't have quite as strong, you know, a negative reaction to it. But to me, you know, I don't know if other people had this reaction also, but then that motion capture animation is just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looks strange to me to see a nude, buffed-up version of Ray Winstone, you know, around on the screen. It just, I don't know. I can't handle it for some reason.
Yeah.
So I don't know if other people calling in are going to have that same reaction. But thank you very much. A very interesting show.
Thank you very much for your call, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
And Golden Compass, I think, Mike Mayo, comes out on December 6th or 7th. So
yeah,
not too far away. And our next caller is Carly in Stonebank. Carly, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm in sixth grade. I listen to your station while I do my homework, and it really helps.
Well, that's great.
And I'm talking about Golden Compass. My friend, Hans Jaeger, he read the book, and he said it's really good, and those bears that you see in the commercials, only one of them is good. The rest of them are these prison guards that can't be tricked and are really more powerful than normal bears. But one of them, like, it becomes a traitor and helps.
And now, Carly, don't give it all
don't
away.
Don't give too much away, Carly, for people who haven't read the book and want to see the film.
Okay.
Is that a movie that you want to see?
Yeah, I really want to see it really bad. And also, talking about B-movie, I really think you should kind of stay away from it. It's really not as good as the commercials say it is. Because I saw it with my class on an incentive, and it wasn't really all that good.
Hmm. Well, Carly, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. How about B-movie, Jerry Seinfeld's animated kids film? Have you seen that one, Mike?
Yeah, and I have a little of the same kind of problem with it that Carly did. To me, when I think of the kind of comedy that comes in that kind of animated film done with computer-generated stuff, I think of things like Shrek and Ratatouille that are really kind of fast paced and you know, out there on the edge, where this is very much a Jerry Seinfeld movie. And I guess, you know, as I said before, you judge a film by how well it does what it sets out to do. And so I think B-Movie is a better Jerry Seinfeld movie than it is a conventional animated film. And so that I found that a little difficult to adjust to.
Well, Carly, thank you very much for your call. And Mike Mayo, since you brought it up, Ratatouille out on DVD, one of my son's favorites. You enjoyed that one.
Oh, very much. It's from the Pixar Studios, and those guys can virtually do no wrong when it comes to this kind of animation. I think it surprised me. Everything they do surprises me, because they have really good imaginations. And this is the story of a rat named Remy who wants to be a chef in Paris, and you know, rats in the kitchen just doesn't quite work. And it's just a delight.
We are talking with Mike Mayo about this season's movies. If you have something in theaters now or coming out soon, or even on DVD that you'd like to recommend from the recent past, let's hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Broadcasting from Madison today, so different numbers than usual during this program. And our next caller for you, Mike, is Steve in Washburn.
Good morning, Cheryl. Thanks
morning.
For taking my call. Mike, you're my new hero. I got to tell you, man, I went and saw Enchanted on Wednesday night, mostly by accident. I had gone to my local movie theater to see Michael Clayton, and it wasn't showing anymore. And so I looked at the marquee and said, well, what should I see? And I saw Enchanted, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I know.
And I'm an old guy. I'm 56 years old, and I've been taking my kids, and now friends of ours who have younger kids, we like to take them to the movies so that we can continue to see these delightful films for younger people. But Enchanted was great, and Amy Adams' performance is star-making. There's no doubt about it. But I thought one of the great things about the film was that it was more serious underneath all of that fun stuff. It was a fairly serious film. It was asking some questions about, well, why can't we... why isn't there true love, and why can't we live happily ever after? And it really touched on some important things. I thought it was just fantastic. So I'm really happy you started the show with that.
Great. And Steve, did you ever get a chance to see Michael Clayton?
No, I still haven't seen Michael Clayton.
And Mike Mayo, I'm sorry, Mike Mayo, that's another one on your must-see list.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. It's a sort of a thriller, but it's really a more complicated story than that, with George Clooney as a lawyer who's faced with a lot of moral choices, and it's kind of long and involved. I'm surprised it hasn't been doing better at the box office than it has. It's being considered something of a disappointment, though. I think George Clooney is probably going to get an Oscar nomination for it. He deserves it. And this is one that my wife and I went to see, and she liked it just as much as I did. And I think that says a lot about it. It's the kind of movie that really appeals to a very broad audience. It is rated R and not really the kind of movie that kids would appreciate or understand, but I really recommend it to adults. And so, Steve, I hope you're able to find a theater where it's playing someplace.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm on my way to the Twin Cities right now, hopefully to get to see the new film by Todd Haynes about Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I really want to see that one. But the other film I wanted to ask you about, Mike, while I've got you on here, is I wanted to ask you what you thought of Julie Taymor's film with the musical with the Beatles songs called Across the Universe.
I'm just the wrong generation for that. I mean, I love those songs, and so I have, again, I have my own movie to go with those songs, and I didn't like that movie, and I had a very personal reaction to it. It tries to use the Beatles songs to tell a narrative, and I just, it didn't work for me. I think younger audiences than me seem to be going to it. It's done fairly well,
And
so it really has found an audience. But I'm just one of those old guys who, you know, I love my Beatles songs, and I'll keep my own memories of those. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think I agree with you a lot on that. I thought that there were parts of the film that weren't trippy enough for me.
Yeah.
That it should have been wilder than it was. But I thought Evan Rachel Wood was just fantastic in the movie. I just thought she was wonderful.
She's been good in everything I've seen her in.
That's true.
Okay, Steve, thank you so much for your call, and enjoy your movie going. Next, we'll go to Anna in Richland Center.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One movie that I really, really wanted to see is The Kite Runner, and it's one of my favorite books, and it was just so wonderful. But you know how it goes when there's a great book and then the movie comes out, usually it's kind of disappointing. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that, and I still want to see it, but am I going to be disappointed? Is it as good as the book?
I don't know. I have not read the book, and that's one that when I heard the movie was coming out, I decided to stay away from the book to try to judge the movie better. I understand they may actually delay the opening of the movie for fear of two of the young Afghan actors who are in it are being threatened with some kind of reprisals over a rape scene that's in the movie. There's nothing graphic in it, but apparently they would like to get these boys out of Afghanistan before they actually release the movie, in you know, to keep them from being harmed in any way.
Right.
That's the main thing I've heard about the movie, and of course, you know, I hope they do whatever is necessary to protect their actors.
Now, when it comes to books like this, Mike, The Kite Runner or Golden Compass, what do you recommend? If people have read the book, maybe even Harry Potter, you know, should they wait until the movie is out and hear the reviews and hear what people who love the book think before they see the film? Is that the best approach?
I guess so. I really think that a film has to stand on its own. I personally decided, you mentioned Harry Potter, I decided not to read those books because I knew I was going to have to be reviewing the films. And so I wanted to keep that, you know, as objective as I could. I really think that if you're a big fan of any book, I think a film almost is always going to disappoint you. It's just not going to be what you envision. As I was saying before about The Golden Compass, I've already seen that movie. And I can't believe that they're going to do it any better than I've already done it in my head.
That's true. Although the trailers do look pretty amazing.
They certainly do.
We are talking this hour with movie reviewer Mike Mayo. I'd love to hear from you if you have a movie, a question about, or a suggestion. 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison 263-1890. You can also email your comments and questions to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller for you, Mike, is Rick in Milwaukee.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
What I'm looking forward to, I guess, most is the new film from Brian De Palma, Redacted. And I'm wondering if you've seen it yet, if you're going to get a review out on it, because I know that you've done some historical work on American war films, and this apparently is going to be somewhat groundbreaking.
Yeah, that's it's very curious what they're doing with this film. Brian De Palma is the director, I guess, you know, probably best known for Scarface recently, and this is a war film about an atrocity that took place in Iraq, and it tries to recreate it as closely, as realistically as possible. It has faced real problems with distribution. I think it's coming out now. It may be playing in some cities now. I was in traveling a couple of weeks ago, and it was actually showing on pay-per-view in the motel where I was staying at, which I've never heard of before. I don't know quite how that happened. Mm. And so I have not seen the film yet, though. I have seen parts of it, and it looks really harrowing. It's done, you know, with kind of handheld cameras and things, so it has a very immediate documentary feel to it, and I understand it is very hard to take.
I was somewhat disappointed with the film The War Tapes, which I saw on DVD a few weeks ago, which was shot by American soldiers from groups of soldiers from New Hampshire, because it was clearly so heavily censored. And that's why, Brian De Palma's basic premise with Redacted is that the American public really isn't getting the full impact of the Iraq War. And it seems from the descriptions I've heard of it that this will do that. And I think it's unfortunate if it's going to be censored or repressed in some way.
Well, I know they were talking about not showing the faces of some of the people involved for fear of legal repercussions, and that's only at the end of the film. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Okay,
because it's something I feel like I should see. I can't say that it sounds like anything I want to see, and I guess that's the point.
Well, I think if we want to see the truth, and this is De Palma's view of the truth, and if these people were convicted of crimes, apparently four of the five American soldiers are now in jail, there has to be some truth there that we should look at and try to analyze and maybe learn something from. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks for your call. Next, we'll go to Randy in Park Falls.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking my call. Backward look for a minute. I haven't seen I went with my wife to see Crash a couple of years ago, and after about 20 minutes, I told her if it didn't get better, we were leaving. And about 5 minutes later, I haven't seen a movie that has touched me like that for a long time. It was, to me, it was a great movie, and I'm wondering if you know of any movies like that out there now. And the other thing that I called about is, what do you think of, and I know it's not the same kind of movie, No Country for the Old Men.
No Country for Old Men is a thriller from the Coen brothers, and I was terribly disappointed in it. I'm a big Coen brothers fan, going all the way back to Blood Simple and films like Fargo and Miller's Crossing. I really love, and I was really looking forward to No Country for Old Men. It starts off really well with a drug deal gone bad and a guy who's it's set in the early 1980s, and Josh Brolin plays this Vietnam vet who finds a suitcase full of money, and then this really creepy guy comes after him. And it starts off really well. But in the last part of the film, the Coen brothers decided they didn't want to make an action film anymore. And so the big scenes that you would expect to see, and I can't say too much because I don't want to spoil things for people who do see it, just aren't there. And instead, we get some kind of philosophizing from Tommy Lee Jones as an old sheriff who's about to retire. It's got great performances in it. It's got some terrific scenes at the beginning. But in the end, I was just angry with this movie. I wanted to like it and felt that the Coen brothers had betrayed my trust at the end of it.
Well, Randy, thank you very much for your call. And we're talking this hour about movies with Mike Mayo. He is a movie reviewer for The Washington Post. He is also the author and editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series, and the author of the forthcoming book, American Murder. You can join in the conversation this hour. What does it take to get you to the theater? Which films have you enjoyed, and what are you looking forward to? 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 in Madison. I'm Cheryl Gasser, sitting in today for Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up next hour, Larry Mueller. On Garden Talk, the talk will be turning hot to the world of peppers. Larry's guests are the Vicars of Vegetables. That's coming up after 11 this morning here on the Ideas Network. I'm Cheryl Gasser, sitting in today for Kathleen Dunn. She'll be back with you on Monday. This hour, we're talking movies with film reviewer Mike Mayo. What films are you most looking forward to seeing this holiday season? Mike, why don't we go back to the phones and take our next call from Jessalyn in Neenah.
Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for your show. I really appreciate it. And I'm curious about a movie, Sean Penn's movie, Into the Wild. And I'm sorry, I also wanted to throw in there August Rush. So just wanted to see what you had to say about both of the movies.
Into the Wild is based on a book, a true story of a young man who was kind of trying to find himself. It's going to get, I think, some pretty big Oscar nominations. Sean Penn may get a nomination for Best Director in it. It's a really well-done film, but it's one of these films that's kind of offbeat, and so it really hasn't attracted big crowds. It really is a more serious film than we normally see, and so I recommend you see it. I liked it. Liked it a lot. And what was the second? August Rush. Just opened yesterday, and it's very kind of another heartwarming, feel good kind of movie with Freddie Highmore, who was in that movie with Johnny Depp about J.M. Barrie, the title of which escapes me right now, and Robin Williams is in it too. I have heard that it is really, really good, and it is, you know, kind of without any sort of irony at all, just, you know, a heartwarming film that doesn't want to, you know, do anything but make you feel good.
Okay, thank you so much for your call, Jesslyn. Next, we will go to Catherine in Chippewa Falls. Catherine, good morning, and thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. You know, this is just a quick comment on something you said way back. The movie that came out a while back that did not disappoint the book reader was Stardust, Neil Gaiman's Stardust.
Oh.
I loved the book and was terrified they'd do something awful with the movie, but of course Neil Gaiman was instrumental in bringing it to the screen, and it was brilliant. He adapted it just beautifully. The one I'm terrified of is The Dark is Rising, and any comments you have on that I will take off the phone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Catherine, do you know that Neil Gaiman also wrote the script for Beowulf?
I think she's left us, but she is listening. But yeah, he had a hand in that too.
Yeah, and I'm The Dark is Rising. I only know a little bit about it. I'm not enough to comment on it yet. Haven't seen it, and so really don't want to say anything yet.
Okay, we'll go next to Robert in Stevens Point.
Hello. Yes. I was one first. My question is in two parts. Okay. The first one is, what did you do? Have you seen the Russian fantasy film Day Watch, the sequel to Night Watch? I know you had, I know you'd heard rave reviews about the original, and
yeah.
So I wonder what you thought of this sequel.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it just come out on DVD?
I know it's sometime recently. I don't know if it's probably within the last few months or so.
Okay, no, I haven't seen it yet. I want to because I liked the first one.
Okay, and the second one was, I mean, I can't believe people are scholars are being that literate. I can't believe people are being snobbish about Beowulf not being 100% faithful to the epic poem because of the way Neil Gaiman wrote the screenplay, it was the downfall of Beowulf, and that's not a spoiler because anyone who's read it in high school knows that it's gonna be a downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's modeled more after the downfall of King Arthur from the Arthurian mythos. That is to say that what destroys him is a product of his own he created.
Well, I think you know Hollywood has a long and rich and well-deserved tradition of really, you know, paying as little attention as possible to the original source material and doing what they will with it. And in a sense, it really doesn't bother me when they go pretty far afield, because the first, you know, duty of any filmmaker is to make a good movie. And if that means, you know, destroying some of the stuff that worked on the page, then that's what they do. And with something as old as Beowulf, I think they felt like they could get away with a lot, and that's why they handed it over to Neil Gaiman to you know, do what he wanted to do with it.
Robert, thank you very much for your call this hour. Next, we'll go to Charles, calling in from Cloquet, Minnesota. Charles, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm curious that it's now 46 minutes into the broadcast, and he has not yet mentioned a show that came out a week ago called Love in the Time of Cholera, based on a prize-winning book. Book is excellent. I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm wondering if he has any comments about this and why he hasn't mentioned it yet.
Because it's only I'm not sure it's in wide release. I know it's playing in some theaters. This is one of those books that with a really big book that takes up, you know, spans many years. I think it's hard to adapt those successfully onto the screen, and I can't say that I'm a huge fan of that book. I've read it, but it's not a story that seems to me that really is going to translate to the screen, and so I haven't seen it yet. I plan to, but I can't say that it's something I'm really, you know, charging up. As soon as when I saw that they were going to turn this into a film, it wasn't something that I said, wow, I got to get a ticket for this right away.
I'm surprised, too, because you'd think it's difficult. It's a 50-year span of time. But the trailers I've seen for it seem to be excellent, although I've been disappointed in the past by movies where the trailer looked great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Charles, are you planning? Do you think you'll go see the film then?
I am going to go tonight.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, call back next time Mike is on and let us know what you thought. Thank you. Thank you so much for your call, Charles. We're talking movies this hour with movie reviewer Mike Mayo. Call in and let us know what you think of a film you've enjoyed recently, or if there are any movies that you think we should avoid. And Mike, let's go ahead and go there. You've got some films, obviously, that we've talked about this hour that you really have enjoyed and some not so much. Are there other films out there that you want to warn people against?
Oh, gosh, warn of what else is out there now that... As I said, No Country for Old Men really disappointed me. I did not like it at all. And another one that I think is still playing in theaters that I did like, and it's kind of a sneaky little movie, is a little kind of horror film called P2 that is all set in a parking garage. And it's about a woman lawyer who is attacked by this guy and how she defends herself there. I went into it not expecting very much and was just happily surprised by the professionalism with which it was made. And I really like the heroine and the whole approach that they did. It's not an exploitative movie at all, the way these movies can so often be. So I found it to be a bit of a sleeper.
Okay. How about Tom Cruise's latest, Lions for Lambs? Is that one you've seen?
No. And a lot of other people haven't seen it either. This is another film about the Iraq War, or I'm not sure if it's about it or Afghanistan, but it's with him and Robert Redford and Meryl Streep. And it's as soon as I saw the trailer for this movie, I just thought, this is not a movie I want to see. I have nothing against war movies. I did write a book about
that's
it.
That's true.
To me, it's too soon to be making these movies about this, the wars we're involved in right now. We need some distance from them to get some perspective. And this movie I had a visceral reaction not to want to see it.
Okay. We'll go ahead and return to the phones and take our next call from Eau Claire. Brad is calling in.
Good morning. I appreciate your show. Mike, we're, typically Thanksgiving weekend's a big movie weekend. And, we were looking to do a family movie this weekend. And I've got three sons, 15, 13, and 10. And we just don't see a lot out there that really looks like it's that worth going to. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions.
If you can talk them into a Disney thing, I think they would like Enchanted. It really is kind of aimed more at girls. Okay. But it's a movie that guys would like, too. If not that, then August Rush. More of a film for guys. And
okay.
Though I haven't seen it, some reviewers I trust have told me that it really, it really works. It's a good movie, and it's not the kind of thing that is only for the kids either.
Okay, all right. Well, I haven't been listening for your whole program today, but I've heard a lot about Beowulf out there, and I was just curious if that's something that you would think would be appropriate for 13 and 10-year-olds?
Well, it's rated PG-13, so it will have some violence in it, and it's done very strangely with a lot of characters who are nearly naked a lot of the time.
Okay.
So I with anything like that, I think it very much depends on your kids, and you certainly know them better than any of us do who come in on movies. So If you have questions, I would say check it out yourself first.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Brad. And Mike Mayo, between now and New Year's, there are dozens and dozens of films opening, a lot with Oscar hopes. Taking a look back for a second at what's come out this year and what is going to be coming out before the end of the year, do you have favorites already for Oscar picks?
Oh, gosh. One that I really hope that the Oscar people do not overlook is Chris Cooper's work in a film called Breach. Came out back in February, I believe. He's playing Robert Hansen, the spy who was inside the FBI and selling secrets to the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
He did just superb work in that. He always does good work in everything. And I really hope that they remember his work there, because it was just a terrific performance. Also, Richard Gere in the movie The Hoax, where he played Clifford Irving, the guy who wrote the fake autobiography of Howard Hughes, a wonderfully funny movie out on DVD now. So if you missed that in theaters, please take a look at it. Gere is really good in it. Alfred Molina is in it too. He's terrific. That's another movie that I think didn't get a whole lot of attention at the time, but really kind of stands out in my mind. And the other one that is coming out, I believe, next week on DVD, a little independent movie called Waitress with Carrie Russell. Just a terrific movie. I think Andy Griffith might actually get a Best Supporting Actor nomination for that. And Carrie Russell, I hope, gets a Best Actress nomination.
Heard great things about that one. Haven't seen it yet, though. It's on my list. We're talking movies this hour. Still time for you in the conversation. 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. And our next caller is Alan in Onalaska.
Hello. I just had a comment and one little question. The comment was on Michael Clayton movie.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I went and saw that, and we enjoyed it very much. And I would agree that George Clooney was just superb. I would also say that the other actors in the movie did just an absolutely marvelous job. The only down thing I saw in the movie was it was a little bit confusing. You couldn't tell who was the good guys and who was the bad guys. But it all came out in the end. But it was a little bit confusing. Both of us thought we didn't really understand who were the good guys and who were the bad guys.
That Alan, that's part of the whole point of the movie. And it is confusing. And there's one particular bit of business that you really have to look hard to understand. And since you've seen it, I can say this to you, and it won't spoil anything for the other listeners. But to figure out why the horses are important, You've got to kind of catch one little bit of business in another scene. And I agree that may be a flaw in it, but I sure did enjoy it. And that's one that I'm looking forward to taking another look at, just to get all of those other little parts of it straightened out in my own mind.
Yeah, I would say that whoever watches it has to pay close attention to what's happening.
Very much.
The question was, you mentioned a sleeper. I couldn't understand. Was that, you said PT or? I didn't get that.
It's called P2, the letter P and the number 2. It's for, you know, parking level 2 in this parking garage.
Okay, Alan, thank you for that one. And we'll go next to Robert in Rhinelander.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Fine,
well, thanks.
I'm visiting some relatives in Rhinelander, but I'm from Fond du Lac, and I've been listening to your show on the radio. And I'm going to tell you, last weekend I took my daughter to see Mr. Magorium's Magic Emporium.
Moment. Sorry about that. Let's see. I'm afraid that we lost our caller. I'm so sorry about that. If you can give a call back. But why don't we go ahead and talk about the movie, Mike Mayo. Is that one that you've seen?
No, I haven't seen it yet. This is one of the first big Christmas movies with Dustin Hoffman and Natalie Portman about kind of a magical toy story. It's one of those movies that reviewers seem to be a bit mixed on, but audiences seem to be liking it, and I have a feeling it's going to do pretty well. I haven't seen it, so I really can't comment on it yet, but it looks nice to me. And I will go see anything that Natalie Portman is in.
Okay. And next we will take a call from John in Stevenson, Michigan.
Hi. I wondered if you've had the opportunity to see Rendition. I know I did, and I'd have to agree with the review in The Nation that it was an excellent movie. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Again, that's another one of these films about the war that I think it's just a little too soon. This is the one with Reese Witherspoon, and I haven't seen it. I'm intrigued by it, but it's one I just find it really tough to make myself go into the theater to see that kind of movie right now. The war is too much with us in, you know, reality, and every time I turn on the news, I can't make myself go see movies about it just yet.
Okay. And Robert from Rhinelander is back with us. Robert, I'm so sorry for cutting you off accidentally. Is that movie one that you've seen, Mr. Magorian's Magic Emporium? Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I took my 6.5-year-old daughter to see it, and it was absolutely a wonderful movie. It was just the best movie I've seen with my daughter in a long time.
And more to the point, Robert, did she like it as much as you did?
Oh, she loved it as probably more than I did. She is probably this weekend going to go see it again. She just cannot get enough of this movie. And when it comes out on tape, we're probably going to have to buy it for her.
That's the best review right there. That's if the 6.5-year-old target audience likes it that much, that tells you more than any grown-up reviewer possibly could.
Yes, and I tell you, as an adult, I got to tell you, it's really nice to see a movie of that scale that appeals to me. I'm so tired lately of seeing movies that have no plot, that, you know, just the same old, you know, shoot 'em out the tube movies, and I'm really liking a movie that just is so fresh and original.
And that we have seen so many. I mean, this whole summer it seemed like it was either a part three was released almost every weekend, and so even though they were very nicely and professionally done movies, there was a distinct lack of that originality that Robert's talking about.
Okay, Robert, thank you so much for your call, and Mike Mayo, we'll need to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I always love the kind of calls you guys get here.
We have great callers. Thank you very much, Mike Mayo. Our guest this hour has been Mike Mayo. He's a movie reviewer and author and editor of books about film for Video Hound DVD series. He does film reviews for The Washington Post and is the author of the forthcoming book, American Murder. Thank you very much to Keisha Mabra for handling a busy phone bank this hour. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our programs, call the radio store at 800-747-7444. Thank you for listening and stay tuned. Much more to come here. I'm Cheryl Gasser in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.